This is Teddy Teapot with Teddy Mellencamp.
Hi, guys. Welcome to this week's Teddy Teapot. One of your most requested guests was Dorit Kemsley. Do you think they wanted to request us because they wanted to see us getting along or because they wanted to see us clawing each other's eyes out?
I feel like because there have been, some social media posts where we've been together, people are like, wait a minute.
What's happening?
What's going on? We never saw that.
We're confused. And I mean, that's a big thing that people never saw the good part of us.
I know. It's true.
Like, never. And we had a lot of good times. Like, Dorit and I, so many times were up late.
Yep.
Laughing, hysterical, like so much of that you never saw, but also... Yeah, we did. We had some not so good times.
We did. They kind of trumped the good times. But recently, though, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, it's changed.
I know.
So, you know, that's nice to be able to show the world and talk about it.
So what everyone's curious about is, like, what did change? Like, how did that happen? So I can give my point of view and your point of view, but you go first.
Okay. Well, I get to go first.
Yes.
Okay. In my opinion, I think that, you know, when we started out, when we first met on the show, I felt an instant connection to you. Yeah. I just thought, this girl's cool. I mean, and you are, you're easy to talk to, you know, you're funny, you're quick. And I really relate to people like that. And then, you know, the show went on and things happened between us, unfortunate things.
Yeah.
And then I felt like, I kind of had my guard up a little bit. And then, you know, I could see through all of that, still there's a connection between us. And I really wanted to get to a place where we could laugh. But unfortunately, you know, between the pressure of the show or some other relationships, I'm not really sure what it is. Things happened and it's unfortunate. And it really drove a wedge between us. And I would say from my point of view, only until recently, since you've not been on the show and we've connected outside the show, I think it's the pressure. You don't have the pressure of the show. And you and I have gotten back to
the way we started.
Yeah.
I know. And I feel the same. And I think, you know, something that's underlying with doing a show like Housewives is, you know, even though, yes, it's authentic, it's 100% real life, you know, there's pressure that you're making a show.
Yeah.
And Dorit and I are doers in general.
Yes.
So we don't want to let anybody down.
Yes.
But the problem is, in doing that, we would let each other down because we were trying to do the right thing. And, you know,
totally.
It just got messy. And I have to say that, like, where we really turned the corner is when I moved over here, and we're neighbors now, honestly, 3 minutes away. We went over to a party at Kathy Hilton's. And then after, Dorit came over and I was like tipsy, but I like broke down to her. And I was like, really, like, shed all the layers and was just like telling her what I was struggling with, the parts that I was hurt and all of that stuff. And like, Dorit was so kind and like so caring. And like, I just felt like I could trust you. And I really appreciated that. And then since then, it's like, we have not skipped a beat. And we had such a fun night for the Fox Force 5.
God, one for the storybooks.
Like, we going into that night, we had no idea what was coming.
No, none. I don't think any of us expected to have that much fun.
No.
Or to really, you know, all feel so vulnerable and to really connect and to just be together and enjoy being together.
Yeah. And like, when you're filming Housewives, the best time is always the plane rides because they're not filmed.
Yes, I know. Seriously.
And so it felt like, you know, at first it kind of felt like that, but then it got to the point where we were like, should we get a room?
I know. We didn't want to leave. Why?
We did not want, the lady was like, you have to go.
We closed the Bel Air Hotel.
We closed it down. We didn't want to go. And like, it just brought a different level, I think, from everybody, don't you?
Totally.
Like, everybody shared stuff I had never even heard.
I know. We can't disclose some of this stuff.
I know.
It's all in private. But yeah, it was a really intimate, wholesome night, you know, where like just five friends got together. And
wholesome? You dry humped me.
Yeah, good point. Wholesome for us. But yes, I did. I mean, that's what happens.
I mean, PK videoed it and posted it for a second.
No, he did.
Yes. And then I'm like, take this.
Oh my God. See, PK has got like this. He's got like the trigger finger, like the posting trigger finger. I'm like, what are you thinking? He's like, what? what? I'm like, no, take it down.
He is, and PK is so funny. He always says it like it is. Like, he killed me that night too. We wanted music so badly, we put it on my phone.
Yes.
And just turned it up. Like,
yes.
And I don't know that I can ever walk into that hotel again.
No, we can. I think, first of all, we were in the corner. Like,
in the corner that everybody walks by to their rooms. And okay. They're like, ladies, time to take it down a notch.
Yeah. All I remember is looking around and there was nobody. And there was like one waitress that wasn't even giving us drinks anymore at one point. Oh, yeah. I'm like, where's my drink? She's like, no, we're closed.
No, she goes, if you must, I'll give you guys one to share.
Yeah.
We're like, oh my God, we've been cut off. We've been cut off at the Bel Air.
Oh my God, that was fun.
All right, next question is, what was our favorite trip together?
Favorite trip together. You know, we've had good moments on our trips, but most of our trips together have not been good.
No. I would say
Provence.
We had so much fun, yeah. But I mean, that was really hard for me in general. That next day after the drunk day was really,
I know,
really tough. I thought Provence was really fun. I thought after we were done filming at the beach house was really fun. First season.
Oh my God. Yes.
We had a full dance party. Yes. We were like doing cartwheels in the sand. Like yes. That was really fun.
Yep.
But I mean,
I don't know if that's a trip though.
I mean, it wasn't in our homes or at a restaurant here.
True.
So, yeah. But like Provence was definitely probably the best time we ever had while doing Housewives.
Yes. Yep. Well, you know, it was the Fox Force 5. It came down. That's where the Fox Force 5 name came from, because everybody else was gone. I mean, Denise and Camille, they couldn't travel because of the fires.
Yeah.
And their houses. And was there supposed to be somebody else there? Or was it just...
I love your selective memory right now. There was someone that quit.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Okay, that's what it is. Okay. See, no, honestly, Teddy, I like block things out. I literally deal with like what I have to deal with at any given moment. And I like block out the rest.
What would you say our toughest time was?
Our toughest time. Goodness, I have to think about the trips that we were on. So Berlin, Provence, and where else were we?
Berlin, Provence, Bahamas.
Bahamas, right. Well, I didn't really know in the Bahamas. So, you know, I would say that, no, our toughest time, I mean, I don't know, Teddy. I feel like most of our tough times were not on the trips.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say it was a trip.
I agree.
You know, we've had some really rough moments. I've left feeling, as I'm sure you have, just really, really down in the dumps and crummy and horrible and feeling like, how did you and I get here? You know, I don't really understand it. I can't think of a specific trip that was so bad.
And the looming question that, of course, everyone has to ask about is late gate.
They
want to know what actually happened.
Okay. Now I'm going to tell the story as it is, and then you can tell your version.
Okay.
And this is as God is my witness, and I've never shared this, but I promise you, hand on my heart, and I would admit it right now, but this is the truth. I was in a meeting, a business meeting for Beverly Beach. And I told production, I said, listen, I can't make it for the 4 o'clock. They wanted us to have coffee and get together. And I said, I can't make it for the 4 o'clock. I've got this meeting. It's super important. It's a big design meeting, so on. And they really wanted us to get together, which I understand. We were new friends. So I said, I can't make it at 4. They said, can you make it at 4:30? I said, I can, but I might be a little late. It's no problem whatsoever. It's totally fine. It's okay. So my time was supposed to be at 4:30. Now, I didn't know how long we were going until. I thought it was super casual. We go, we get together, we have a chat. I'm in the meeting and it goes late as I suspected. And when I left the meeting, it was 4:30. And I called you in the car and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I'm late. And I remember you saying something on the phone like, you know, I'm about to leave. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, I'm 15 minutes late. We're in California for crying out loud. Okay. I'll be 25 minutes late, you know, oh, I'm sorry, but I figured you were told she might be late. And then I get there, and then I understand. Oh no, we never end up meeting.
I was right. Gone.
But afterwards, you said I was an hour late, and that really threw me into a tizzy because I was like, obviously, I was not an hour late. I know, but I couldn't even say really
because we were breaking the fourth wall.
But
I was told 4.
Right.
So I was there, you know, like I am 3:55.
Yep.
And sitting there, and you have to realize that I'm new to the show.
Yep.
So I don't really know what happens. And if in real life, if it's 4 o'clock and somebody's not there by, you know, 4:45, you leave. Like you're like, totally. Okay, you know. So I was like, I was looking up at production and I'm like, what do I do, guys? And you know, I'm feeling uncomfortable because I'm like been sitting there, I'm like nursing that wine. I mean, you've seen the scene 1,000 times of me like drinking, looking at my phone, like the most awkward human alive. And they're like, what would you normally do, Teddy? You know, and you get that tone, like, what would you do?
Right.
Like, don't ask us.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'd go. And then that's when I left. I thought that would never be used. Like this scene was done because it didn't happen. And then I was filming with, it was either Kyle or LVP the next day. I can't remember who. And they brought it up on camera and I'm like, oh no, this is happening. And I'm like, well, no, I mean, that's because she goes, Dree said you left because she was only 10 minutes late. I'm like, no, she was 45 minutes late. And so that's really how it all like spiraled.
Yes.
So even though the drama is 100% real because it's happening, sometimes it's like we can't fully explain why it's drama.
Right.
And that was why.
Right.
And different call times. And then we got to a place where like we thought we were fine. Like we would recap at the end of the night, do this. And then all of a sudden we'd watch an episode and realize like, no, this is bad.
Yeah, I know things can be, that's welcome to the world of reality television.
Yeah.
I mean, we all learn it the hard way, you know, and when we first start, that was one of those situations that was a tiny little thing that blew up into a big thing. But you know what? It made so much of that season. And then people thought, I mean, listen, you came out smelling like roses after that. I mean, I'm the one who was like, how dare she be an hour late? And here I am saying, this is such fucking bullshit. You know, but I took it on the chin. I kept saying, you know what? I'm not going to throw production under the bus, even though I'm doing that now, aren't I?
Fine, years later.
But it's years later. And you know what? I think even with regards to production, it wasn't even their fault because I think it was like an admin problem.
Yeah, there were so many people in communication. I don't think that.
It wasn't
I don't think it was done deliberately, but they were thrilled when it happened.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, we have a caller that came in. Brianna, what do you got for us?
Hi. So my question might be mostly for Dorit, but I just wanted to know how you guys were getting along with Crystal and how you're getting along with Kathy this season.
Well, I love Kathy. I've known Kathy for about 5 years. Her and I have a lot of mutual friends, so I've seen her a lot over the last few years, and she's a barrel of laughs. I mean, I just love that woman, and I'm so glad that the world is going to be able to see the Kathy that I've seen.
So
it was hysterical. Crystal, I like Crystal a lot. You know, I found it very easy to talk to her, to meet her. We connected very quickly. I've enjoyed her. I think, you know, much like everyone that starts on the show for the first time in the first year, it's difficult and you have to find your feet. But I think that she's a lot of fun and she's down to earth and she's got a great personality. So I'm enjoying her.
Great. That's awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you. Our next caller is Cade. Cade, how are you?
Hi, ladies. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, okay, I have a question. First of all, I just want to say that I never watched any reality TV before 2020, but then I kind of ran out of things like a lot of people in the pandemic, and so I started Housewives, and so I just wanted to tell each of you thank you, first of all, because I felt like a lot of times when I was just at home alone watching your show that I was part of your family. Kind of weird how reality TV has that escapism. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that one. You know, my question is mainly for Dorit, but of course I want Teddy's opinion as well. Dorit, I wanted to compliment you on your TikTok skills. I love it. And I wanted to ask specifically, like, tell us, walk us through how you kind of cultivate and create these looks. I mean, that's what everybody always notices you for. You have the best looks. So walk us through your process. I'm so curious.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. TikTok is a whole new thing for me. I started to do it with my kids and my husband, you know, just little dance videos in the pandemic. And I thought it was a lot of fun. And then obviously, you know, with my glam team, we've talked about recreating different TikToks, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. As far as putting the looks together, you know, it's something that I love to do. It's cathartic for me. And usually when the kids go to sleep, I'll go into my closet and sort of play a little bit and then put together looks. And really, depending on how I feel and my mood that day, I tweak the looks, you know, so I might be in a more glam state of mind, or I might feel more edgy, you know, low key, downplay it. But I think as far as putting them together, it's really just a creative process for me that I enjoy. And it's mostly me. And then of course the whole look comes in once I've chosen the outfit. You know, I'll talk to my glam team and we'll figure out like what's a great hairstyle or the direction of the makeup. I've got a great girl that does some shopping for me, and she weighs in on the looks too from time to time. So it's a nice collaboration, but it's something that I have full control over because I'm a control freak when it comes to fashion.
What she's not telling you is it's actually me sending her those looks.
Always.
Of course.
My priority list. Oh my gosh. Thanks for calling in. All right. We have one more caller, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi.
So my question is directed towards Teddy. I know you've been taking a little more time for yourself this season and not on the show as much. How are you adjusting to that? And how are you spending your new free time?
You know, at first it was really challenging. You know, it's like anything when you spend so much time dedicated to something for over, you know, 3 years, 5-6 days a week, and then it stops abruptly, all of a sudden you're like, what am I supposed to do with myself in my life? And, you know, but luckily and one of the things that I wish was shown more in the show is I have a really full life. Like I have amazing children, such a fun husband. My business is doing great. Like all of these things. So, and because it was during COVID, I really needed to actually be there for them this year. And like, even though it was tough, and I gotta be honest, my ego was bruised. Like it's, you know, it's a little bit of a reality check that, you know, like nothing lasts forever, but it also made me appreciate like all the fun times that I did have on the show, but also, you know what? Some of the stuff I don't miss.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't miss waking up with that like raging anxiety that happens after you're watching somebody either be pummeled or getting pummeled or whatever it may be. Like that doesn't naturally make you feel good when you wake up, and we all struggle with it. We all know we're, you know, and you know, I miss the cast and the crew and everybody, but I really feel like I needed to be there for my family. I had a baby, like all of these things, like, and it just, I was in a different place.
You've got a lot going on.
Yeah.
You've got a lot going on.
And you know, so there hasn't really been much free time, but it's been nice. And you know, the truth is the people that I'm close with on the show, we're still hanging out and we're still talking. So there's not like a huge void. And the same goes with the producers, like the ones that I'm close with, I still talk to, you know?
Yep.
So it is what it is. But thank you so much for calling in. We have to take a quick break and then we'll come back and answer more listener questions. All right, now that we're back from the break, we're going to have to talk about something that we neither of us want to talk about, but I don't have a choice because I put it on the Instagram and I say, what do you want to talk about? And guess what they want to know about?
Let me guess.
So they want to know, apparently you were recently, which I know this because we texted about it, but recently at Mr. Chow for Robert Earl's birthday.
Yes.
Did you and Lisa talk?
We did not say a word to one another. You know, luckily there was about 100 people there. She knew I was there. I knew she was there. And we never made eye contact. We never went up to one another. I didn't plan to go up to her. She's made her position very, very clear. And that's been, you know, outside of publicly how she talks about us, even intimately to our friends, you know, how she feels about PK and I, and how she is really not interested in a friendship. And that's all I need to know. Yeah. I mean, I would have loved for things us to have been able to find a way to rekindle a friendship or to move past any animosity, because I am that type of person. I don't like confrontation, and I can have the biggest blow up with somebody. But if they want to make things work and they want to try and move past it, I can go in wholeheartedly.
Yeah, that's
the want truth. To do it and put it behind. And I would have done that with Lisa, but it's not what she wants to do. And she's very, very clear about it. So I don't need to try with her anymore.
The part that's a little bit confusing to me about Lisa is she's repeatedly acts like the housewives is like, ugh, but she's always talking about it. Always. And Kyle was on the podcast. You listened to it a couple weeks ago where we talked about the bill thing and then the picture. Then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, Bryce Sander from ET, I'm watching his video and it's Lisa responding to what Kyle said, but Kyle didn't actually say what she said. She goes, Kyle said it was a child with the paparazzi pictures. No, she didn't.
No, no.
So quit trying. Like, you're always, and that was always my problem. It's like, you're always switching the narrative
yes.
to make yourself look good. Where like sometimes in life, you're not going to look good.
Yeah.
And sometimes in life, you're going to make mistakes. And you know what? It's okay to say, I missed that show, but I felt wronged and I'm done. Or whatever it may be, but she just won't ever cop to anything,
no.
which I think is the problem. Like, yeah, it ideally, would I love to be talking about the housewives every week? No, but do I still love you guys and want to support you 100%? Yes. Yeah. So it's like, if you're truly going to move on, and yes, we are talking about it, you have to actually be authentic to what you're thinking. Like, if you want to still be immersed in the drama, or do you just want everybody to like come at other people? That's really the goal.
You know, the thing that I find particularly childish is that, you know, with this paparazzi shot, when she X'd out all of our faces, I mean, she thinks it's humorous, like sending the bill to the producer, you know, and leaving and saying, you know, buy me dinner. These are very humorous to her. They're not so funny and it's very childish. And it, I mean, you obviously haven't let go of anything.
It's being passive aggressive.
Yeah. And she's still holding on to something. And what is this apology that she's waiting for? I don't really understand.
And I mean, we've done all of the apology. Like, I mean, we even sent her something over for her birthday. Like, we've done things, but it's confusing to me. If it is so beneath her, why are we still talking about it?
I think with Lisa, if she doesn't have control over a person or a friendship or a relationship or the narrative, then it doesn't work for her.
And that's ultimately what ended up happening with the dog situation was she thought she had the narrative 100%. And then she lost control of the situation because I went off her script and told Dorit. And then all of a sudden she was furious.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she was found out, but I mean, it could have easily been resolved, but we don't even need to get into all of that.
I know. But I just don't like when things are twisted, you know, and the thing about Lisa and I find, and I don't want to sit here and talk badly about her because truthfully, she's not part of my life.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in anything that she does or says. If she does anything to hurt me or the family, obviously I would say something back. But truthfully, when I hear these things that she says, even to friends of ours about us, I mean, I laugh, I feel bad. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? Unfortunately, it's still burning a hole inside of her. Me?
Yeah, you're done. Yeah, you're like, we will answer the questions, but I don't, people always say, would you ever like forgive her? I've forgiven her. I don't care, but I have to talk about it if people are asking, but I don't have a fire burning to like rebuild that friendship because for me, I never really had it.
Right.
It was like, I was her little pet.
Right. Right. No, I think
it used to torture you.
Exactly. Thank you. But no, it's true. And even when we went to this party and I had no expectations because I really, truly, I believed that Lisa and I had a great friendship. PK and I would have dinner with Lisa and Ken at least once a month.
Yeah.
We had a lot of laughs together. I really felt like she was my friend. I felt like we had a genuine friendship. And then when I realized that the friendship wasn't really what I thought it was, for me, I just thought, okay, well, then I don't need this friendship.
Yeah.
But then, you know, for the sake of, we have a lot of mutual friends and we were on the show, you know, together at the time, I thought, you know what, let me just try, let bygones be bygones. I apologized to her. I asked her to move on. I've tried she's made it very clear she wants nothing to do with us. For some reason, she thinks I did something to her, which I don't really understand yeah. that. I can't for the life of me wrap my head around it, but it's okay. I feel like I'm free of some toxic energy that I really don't need in my life.
Well, speaking of toxic energy, who did you have the hardest time getting along with this year?
This year? You know, I like everybody on the show.
Doreen, you have to give an answer.
I didn't finish. I like everybody on the show. I found there was somebody this year that treated me very differently than they did last year. And there was definitely a moment where I felt like I had to defend myself.
Can I guess?
I can't give you too much, Teddy. You know the drill. And I don't really want to, you know, next thing you know, it's fishing for more information. You got to watch the show.
Is it Garcelle?
Why would you say that?
That's just my guess. Because, I mean, you guys have to watch the show. But when I was on, I noticed some things in regards to myself as well. A shift.
Yeah. There was a shift.
And then who is your favorite housewife? These are not my words, y'all. Who is your favorite?
My favorite. I don't have a favorite. I have favorites. You know, Kyle and
this
I
is pick or die. Right?
I know.
It's pick or die.
You get crying out loud. Am I supposed to be honest or not?
Yes.
Okay. Honest. I love Kyle. I love Rinna. I love Erica. I'm the closest to those three. I've also known them the longest. Kyle and I have our friendship has grown even stronger. We travel together. You know, I trust her. She, you know, she's one of the people that I talk to so freely and openly. I love Erica. Erica's more guarded. I have a very different relationship with Erica than I do with Kyle. And Lisa Rinna, you know, the same. I feel, you know, I've got a great relationship and history, and I trust her, and I have so much fun with her. So, I mean, I love them.
What do you miss most about not having me on the show?
Absolutely nothing. Teddy, I'll tell you, if I could have this with you on the show, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. But because I never had that, you know, I'm now most protective of what we have.
Yeah, I know.
I enjoy our time together. I enjoy this relationship that's blossoming. I wouldn't want it to be ruined. Genuinely, you know, and it's a shame because we have a lot of fun together and yeah.
We laugh a lot.
I mean, you're funny. You are funny. And you're somebody that, you know, I can banter with, you know, joke around with. But you've got a great heart. You're a great mom, you know, and I can tell you can be a very, very good friend. I would like to be able to experience that and not have, you know, all the
pressures of all the things that I've, you know, and that's the truth. It puts that, it switches the dynamic.
Yeah.
And when you are in the moment doing a show like that, and you know that somebody has to do something, or you've just wasted your entire day, life, week, whatever, it adds to that dynamic. And there are some people that will give in and do it. And there's some people that won't.
Yes.
And you know, my biggest regret from being on the show is I wish there were times where I would have just withheld.
And I don't think that's your nature though.
But it's not.
It's not. You're by nature.
I'm a doer. In general,
you'll speak your mind.
I speak my mind, but I mean, there are things that like my last season, I wish I, you know, I just would have let it be.
Yeah.
And I wish we would have seen other stuff, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But
the nature of the show, you know, just to add to that quickly, the nature of the show and the thing about it is reality. And you have, you know, 8 successful, independent, strong women, and there's bound to be confrontation. But sometimes, you know, you're shooting for 5-6 months, 4 or 5 months, whatever it is. And, you know, whatever little tiny tension there is, it needs to be kind of accelerated.
Yeah.
So what you would take maybe 6 months to kind of drag out and then you kind of get right to the point.
Yeah.
So if someone rubs you the wrong way, you're very forthcoming and you have to be like, okay, listen, I didn't like that.
And you have somebody dedicated, like there is a camera on your face. You have someone dedicated to your emotions. So like if they see something happen, they are on it.
Yeah.
Like they know. And then it's like, you can feel the camera getting like close and hot. And like the scene where we were Sutton, where she called me boring and like, I, you know, something about me having the, you know, oh, and even worse, you're pregnant, you know, whatever. I was just emotional. And, but then the, that pressure of the heat and the light and all that, you just, I just crumble.
I know. I know.
And I, and in that moment, I remember looking up and you looking at me like, you got this,
yes.
Pull it together,
yes.
Get it together.
Oh my God. I'm such an empath. Every time I see somebody, if somebody hurts or I see that they're hurting or they're sad or they're crying, I don't know what it is. Like, I just want to go and help them, save them, you know, give them a hug. It's hard.
So I have a question. Last week, Crystal shared that she had a warrant out for her arrest in Arizona. And
it
picked up, like everybody, people, all these different magazines picked it up. And, you know, it's a long, crazy story from when she was younger and it's not even a big deal, but hilarious. Do you have any scandal you'd like to share with us here, Dorit?
No, I've got no warrant out for my arrest. No, I can't think of anything salacious enough.
But didn't you run away once?
I did. I was like 14 years old, you know.
Dorit, the runaway.
Well, I never actually got a chance to run away. I got caught. I got caught by my parents. I had like a duffel bag. I mean, I told this story. I don't know what they showed or didn't show. But yeah, I was 14. I thought I knew it all. And I was ready to go, you know, live in Manhattan with my girlfriend and, you know, start a new life. But my parents caught me.
So have you gotten any whiff of the Brian Moylan book? A lot of people are asking about how true it was. So like certain things that were said, which I can confirm are 100% false, was we only got episodes if we blogged. And we got paid to blog. I'm like, what? Both are completely false.
Well, I just want to say, you know, that guy, which I had never heard his name. I know he co-wrote Erica's book, but he actually came out with this ridiculous lie about PK and I. PK was traveling in London for work and he sat in some podcast and he told, well, they're separating. They're headed towards divorce. Oh, yeah. PK's living in some friend's guest house. I mean, like when I mean flat out made up some big lie. And I remember turning around to PK and saying, PK, how on earth can someone get away with this? How can they just lie so blatantly? It gets picked up. People actually believe it.
Yeah,
they know
it. I remember.
How can they even sleep at night? And I remember PK and I were together like for Valentine's Day. This was like days after, right? And I said, well, I mean, so much for this fucking BS headline about us heading towards divorce, you know, when we're filming. Yeah, you know, it's Valentine's Day and we're together. But I can't really understand how people get away with this.
With just complete
flat out lies.
Lies. I'm like, you wrote a book, but like, where are you getting this info? Because I can confirm there's no housewife that will ever say that that's true because it is not.
I know.
Like you have to get the episodes the day or two before because they, you know, they at least prep us a little bit and then we can tweet and do all those types of things, but it's not contingent of one another. That's just the policy. Also that he said that he alluded to the fact that my business was created by Bravo. And I was like, one, he's always had it out for me too. Like just.
And me apparently.
Yeah. And you know, I always in the back of my mind, I was like, maybe it was because like I had Eric and I had issues the first season and he was writing her book and he was, but then it never stopped. And even once Eric and I got close, I'm like, well, I guess it didn't have anything to do with Erica. He just really,
I don't even know who is he? Like, what is this? You know, I know he,
I don't know, but we met him at BravoCon.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Because I was like,
clearly didn't make a very good impression on it.
Super, super. No, he was super friendly at BravoCon, which that also I don't love.
You know what?
If you're going to talk mad crap, just be an ass.
Oh, my God. Totally.
So like, honestly, just give me the stink eye.
Also, how can you trust someone like that? And how do people go on and continue to believe what a person says when things have been proven that whatever they're saying is just not true? Like, don't you question what comes out of his mouth at that point?
Yeah. You're like, I don't
get it.
I don't get it.
Or they just, I think what, you know, people want to believe what they want to believe. And if someone's there prepared to, you know, say things that that aren't true and no one's going to contradict them, then how did you write a book about it? Was there any fact checking?
That's what I'm saying. How is that possible? Because I know I think there's another one that's coming out. I don't know if we're even allowed to talk about it, but I know that like we were asked questions. for the other one.
But not, we weren't interviewed by him.
No, that's a different book. That's my point. Yeah. So we, there was something that we talked about that I haven't seen come out yet.
Right. Same.
But where we were interviewed. So I'm like, so where are you getting your info? But because whatever.
Consider the source, everyone. Please consider the source.
Ugh. So now we're going to get into marriage talk. Dreet, when did you and PK meet? Was it love at first sight?
PK and I met in New York City, 2011. It was not love at first sight, but there was banter and there was chemistry. And we actually didn't go on our first date for like 2 months. But we had gone out and a group of friends. In fact, when I met him, we realized that we had a lot of mutual friends. So the first time we went out together, we were with a few different friends of ours. And we were friends. I mean, I looked at him and I thought, okay, here's a guy who's separated, three children. I mean, he had a mountain of luggage.
Red flags.
Yeah, a mountain of red flags, a mountain of luggage, baggage, not luggage, baggage.
Luggage.
A mountain of baggage. I mean, there was not, it was not the type of guy I ever thought I would see myself with. But there was very clear chemistry and banter. And then he asked me out. We went on our first official date. We went to see the Jersey Boys in New York City.
Aww.
And I have to tell you, after that time we were alone, we were inseparable ever since.
You were done. You were done for.
Oh, he's my person.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. What do you think the best part that the show has done for your marriage and the worst part?
Well, you know, the show has actually strengthened my marriage. And at the same time, has made things very difficult between PK and I, particularly when I'm filming.
Right.
It's really hard for him, you know, and it's hard for me by extension, because PK's used to me being around all the time.
Right.
I don't really like go out with my girlfriends every week. You know, yeah. I tend to go out with my husband. We're always together.
Yeah.
That's the way it's always been, Teddy. I mean, 10 years we're together, almost 10 years. And we live our lives together. We travel together. So while I'm doing the show, as you know, there are lunches and dinners and parties and various things, even when I'm filming and I'm not filming with him, that I'm not with him. And that is hard for him because he wants me with him. So it took, you know, year after year after year, me saying to him every time I'm about to start filming, PK, you know, I don't need to do this. Yeah. My marriage is more important to me. Our relationship is far more important to me. But he's, you know, he supported me and encouraged me to do it. And so year after year, I have to go through those really uncomfortable few months where he feels like he's ostracized, you know, and marginalized and all of those things. And then I spend the next 6 months after that reassuring him.
How great he is. I mean, because that's the thing with, you know, Edwin as well. Like, he likes to be taken care of a bit, like, or feeling like that importance in our lives. And when you wake up filled with like whatever you have to do for the day, and you know you have to do three different things and change and do this, you are like on the go.
Yes.
And it's impossible. And then they're like, hey, can you do this dinner tonight with this business person? And I'm like, I've been, you know, we were filming for 8 hours. No, I don't want to go talk to a stranger. Like, I'm exhausted. And then they take it personally.
Yes.
So that was the hardest part for me too. But the best part was my first season, I was nagging my husband a lot. And I was like, I have to reel it in.
Wow.
I was like, wow, I am nonstop. Like, I'm like, come on. And I was like, Teddy, let's pull this together.
Did you change?
I did. Yeah, I nag less now.
Okay.
And we have like a better, we wake up in the morning and we talk about our day. So we set the expectations. Like today I had a bunch of podcasts and stuff and I'm like, honey, you know, this morning we wake up and I'm like, can you do me a favor and please take the kids to school? Like, I am on all day and I know you are too, but like, I will feel frantic having to rush back and try to get on the, you know, Wells's podcast. And he's like, of course, babe. That, you know, but before I don't think I'd communicate and then I'd be mad that he didn't
feel it. Yeah. Right. I know they're supposed to be mind readers.
Yeah. So I realized the communication is so much better. And I thank the show for that. All right. If PK asked you to move back to London, would you?
No, we've talked about it. And luckily I don't think he does either. I think we'll stay in America, hopefully at some point. I mean, it would be nice. We do travel back and forth to London enough.
Yeah.
So we see his family, but I don't even think he wants to live there full time.
So do you think LA is where you'll continue to stay?
I don't know. I don't know. I I think during COVID, we really thought, do we want to be here? Where do we want to be? You know, I'm tied to LA right now because of the show. Yeah. And I feel like until I decide or they decide that I'm not doing it, you know, and then the options are open. I think it's nice. I'm a New Yorker. I love New York so much. But now having kids, I think it's easier, you know, for them in California. But I don't know. I feel like I could live outside of California. I'm just not sure where.
Yeah. So you're open. You're open. So shifting over to motherhood.
My favorite topic.
Jaggy. Do you, is there anything about having the kids on the show that makes you nervous? Like, you and I are similar in the fact that, like, we have our kids on Instagram. Because it's so, they're so such a big part of my life. I couldn't imagine not. And same with the show.
Totally.
Like, I was bummed when, you know, I would be like, oh, we did that together and they never showed the kids, or, you know,
I know.
That's, I hate those moments. Takes away from what actually happened.
Totally. Totally. No, I filmed so much with the kids. And, you know, when I first started the show, Teddy, Jagger was not talking, and Phoenix, I was just fitting her for a helmet.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous. I was so nervous to bring the kids on the show for very obvious reasons. And I remember sitting down with producers and I said, I really haven't decided whether or not I want to show my kids or whether I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to impose this on them. Yeah. Plus, I'm going through these various things. And the producer said, listen, naturally, you know, people will be able to relate to this because there are other mothers that are going through these struggles. And I thought, you know what, that's right. And so I bore it all and I put it all out there. Almost a little bit too much for season, to be honest with you. And I think, you know, since then, and really that decision, no matter what, at the end of the day, we're all moms.
Yeah.
We all go through similar things. Our kids are going to misbehave. Our kids are, you know, are needy. They need us. They love us. They're funny. They're cute. All of the things. It's my most, it's my happiest time is when I'm with them. Yeah. It's the thing I'm most proud of. And so, of course, they're going to be on the show with me because you would not see a full version of me
without them,
without my kids and my husband.
Which brings me to the next question, which a lot of people are asking about how you shared it all. What is the best advice that you could give to a mom who's struggling with a child speaking?
Oh, my goodness. I think that you have to get them evaluated. I thought that that was something that it was suggested by my pediatrician to have him, to have Jagger evaluated by a developmental pediatrician.
What age did you do that?
Well, Jagger didn't talk. He wasn't talking. I mean, it was after 2 years old. So between 2 and 2.5 years old, and I still hadn't heard mama.
Yeah.
And so I did that at first. In fact, I made a mistake. Someone had said to put him in speech therapy, and I did. This is before I had him evaluated, and a couple of months had passed and there was no progress.
Yeah.
And so I spoke to the speech therapist and I had said, you know, I'm not seeing any progress. Can you give me any indication what's going on? And she had a really negative response to me that really set me into a tizzy, gave me a panic attack. She was, said something like, you know, he has to be here all the time. I'm not saying he'll ever speak in his lifetime. That's entirely up to him. Ugh. When you tell a mother that, right? And there's no basis or bearing. I mean, I'll never forget. I was in the car. I was having a panic attack, fully crying. Jagger, the little baby, was in the car seat in the back. And my husband was in Vegas with his son for his 21st birthday. So it was unreachable.
Yeah.
And I called my pediatrician, who I love, who's just recently retired. And I said, you know, I was crying. And I said, I don't know what to do. And I don't know what. And he said, Dorit, let's get him evaluated by a developmental pediatrician, which I did immediately, just to make sure and see that, you know, what if there was any big concerns.
Yeah.
And we did that. He came out clear, but they had said, you know, some people, they're delayed. And I believe he'll talk when he wants. There was the assumption that he had something called dyspraxia.
Yeah.
Apraxia, dyspraxia. Where the signal of the brain doesn't fire a signal quick enough to the mouth.
Right.
But he was so young, they thought as he gets older, we'll understand whether or not he does or doesn't have this. But we think this is what it could be. And the best thing that you could do is bring him to speech therapy, which I found a homeopathic speech therapist who was unbelievable. She connected with Jagger. She did wonders with him. And really just like that, I mean, he started to speak and then, I mean, you know. I mean,
now he's a chatterbox and like he calls you on stuff too. Yes. Like they were over for a play date, which you guys were also asking, like, are Cruz and Jagger still friends? Yes, they are hilarious because they both are little comedians.
Yes.
So they cute. Think they're adults.
Yes.
They are very opinionated. I wonder where they get all of these
things. I wonder.
It's so,
I wonder.
But I think a big part of being a parent is like, you just have to consistently be an advocate for your kids. Like I had somebody after Dove's neurosurgery that came over and was doing physical therapy with Dove. And she said something and it really hurt my feelings. She said, you know, with her deformity. And granted, that may be what it's considered, but I didn't want this. And she kept saying it. And it's okay to say to somebody, and I, you know, actually the show ended up, you know, helping me do this, but it's okay to say to people, you know what? I don't like that.
Yeah.
That actually really bothers me. Yeah. Can you do me a favor? Just, you don't need to say that because you just keep repeating it. And she kept doing it. And I was like, listen, it's not going to work. For me anymore, because you're not able to have that empathy to what we're all going through. And she had neurosurgery and she did all of these things and we're going through a really tough time. And like, I just can't with this energy. Yeah. And then I found somebody that was excellent.
Yeah.
And so it's okay to realize that somebody's not the right fit
for you. Absolutely. And when they're not a right fit, to change it.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through that additional stress and pressure. And you know, one of the things that they had told me, this is just for the moms that are struggling with it. Even in speech therapy, I mean, they're only there for an hour. And what was really important and what I did consistently with Jagger was he would point. And before that, I would grab what he needed because I had such a connection with Jagger. I knew what he needed at any given moment. But that was the worst thing I could do because I needed to help him find the words. So he'd point and I would repeat the word and repeat the word and repeat the word. You have to bring whatever you're learning, whatever they're doing in speech therapy, bring it home.
Yeah.
Work with them. Constantly mention the word. Don't let them point and get.
Yeah.
They have to be able, you have to teach them that communication is helpful. We'll get them what they want. So that helped us a lot.
That's a really good tip, by the way. Now I need to make sure that I'm doing that with Dove. I'm like, okay, good, noted.
Yes.
Do you want more babies?
I mean, listen, I love babies. I love babies. I love my babies. If I had started younger, I feel like I probably would have gone on to have more. We do have five collectively. So we do have a lot. Three of them are older. But I think that ship has sailed. You know, one of my best girlfriends just had a baby and it's so nice because he's my godson and I'm obsessed with him. And so it kind of feeds that baby bug.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I see Lovey Dove.
Boss baby back in business. Nugget.
I know. Eventually she's going to be like all about me. You know, I'm going to earn my way.
It's going to be like how Slayton's like, what's that? Ooh, who's that? You know, like I can't.
Yeah.
We have to take a little break and we'll come back and finish up with a couple questions. All right, last kid question, and then we'll go into like just lifestyle general. How was homeschooling kids during the pandemic for you?
Horrible, beyond horrible. You know, Jagger was 6 years old, Phoenix was four. They had a good few months where we had Zooms every day. It was really hard. And I felt so bad for them too, because try and get a six-year-old to sit there, you know, at the table, focused on a screen, trying to participate. You know, they're raising the hand. It was just, and the teachers were really just figuring it out too.
Yeah, I know. Some of the teachers didn't even know how to like do the Zooms at first.
Yes,
like
it was mayhem. I knew right off the bat that that wasn't really going to work. Certainly not in them learning in the way they should.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity where a teacher that had worked with Jagger had intimated that she would work for me full time. And I took that opportunity and the kids were homeschooled this year with a teacher and it was the best thing I ever did. Obviously, I feel very grateful for being fortunate enough to be able to do it. And I, you know, my heart goes out to the moms that had to continue doing Zooms before the schools opened up. But yeah, that was really a challenge.
Yeah. I for me, it was also a challenge. I mean, there was a point where like Cruz cut his own hair. Like he, and they had like craft scissors, you know, the like supposedly the kids proof, but all of a sudden he comes in and he had taken scissors and cut like to his scalp. So that's why all of a sudden he had this like complete buzz cut that was like he was bald. I'm like, dude, of all the and then I like emailed the teacher. I'm like, hey, by chance, did you see this? She goes, I was wondering where he went. He turned off his video for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Shouldn't that be like texting the mom or something?
But that the crazy part is like during the pandemic, with, you know, working moms, all these, whether you're working or not, even just having more than one child, you are not going to be sitting in the room with them the entire time. So like kids are smart. Like they learned how to like toggle between their Zoom class and like YouTube videos. Like I had to like really learn how to like turn off parental, you know, turn on parental controls to like make sure that they were, you know, figuring it out. But luckily they're, you know, my kids went back to school in person, but it's completely different now, you know, like they're in masks, they can't, you know, it's a lot, but they were so thrilled just to, because they didn't have a teacher, they had me. And like, I barely got through kindergarten myself. So they're like,
that's some challenging stuff. That it's,
you know, I mean, Slate's math for sure. That's over my head. Yeah. So, you know,
no, it was challenging and it was difficult. And they do that age. They do need to be like looked after. You can't just trust that. I couldn't trust that Jagger and Phoenix were just sitting there and they were okay. And if I wasn't there or somebody wasn't there with them, then they just drifted, you know, it kids are different. I feel like luckily I had this teacher that, that offered to stay. Otherwise I would have probably been in a situation where, you know, I don't know, I try and find somebody.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy that you shared that because so often in this world of social media and everybody living this, like we are perfect and we can do all the things. People don't admit.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
I think there is no shame in any game. Like to say, like, I'm like, listen, Maria lives with us and I am so grateful that I have her. She's part of our family. She, you know, cooks a heck of a lot better than I do. We love her. We laugh with her. And like, without her, I would, at this stage in our life, I would really be struggling. I mean, with Slate and Cruz, that wasn't an option for us. And, you know, I was, you know, not working in the same capacity. So it was me. And I can't imagine going through what we had gone, you know, so I have so much empathy and like for those moms who are just really slugging away.
100%.
And I'm grateful that we had it. But I think it's important for people in the public eye to say like, listen, I do have help and it's not always perfection and it's not always easy. And you know, and when people say, how are you, you know, do you feel bad that you work or you do these things? I'm like, no, I want to show my kids that you have to work. If you, you know, if you want something or you want to build your life, you have to do what you, you know, makes you happy.
Totally. Listen, I think that we're giving a lot. And I have mom guilt all the time. I've always worked. I also have post-traumatic stress syndrome after season one, because I went on the show, I opened my house and my home and everything. And, you know, I had a baby and I was working and, you know, with PK and doing a lot of things and a toddler, and we had help. And the way it came across first season was that I was an absent mother.
Yeah.
That was by far the worst sword dagger to my heart that I've ever experienced, especially for someone like me that I literally live for my children, live for my children, live, breathe, exist for my children. Having help, having some support because of our hectic, busy lives and being able to have that support, you know, as a working mom, I'm so grateful. But that doesn't mean by any stretch of the imagination that
you're not there for your kids.
You're not there for your kids, not doing things for your kids. I mean, and, you know, you can tell by looking and meeting the kids and seeing the kids, you know, how much of a family dynamic they have, you know, even though they have some additional support. So I think that for me with that, I think that it had such a negative connotation. And I think people, you know, drew these conclusions and however they wanted it to look, you know, and however it looked, it definitely garnered some attention. But yeah, I think that the support is amazing. I think as working moms, you know, you need to, in order to work, some of it's daycare. Some of it is, you know, you have a nanny or you have, you know, a housekeeper. I don't have a live-in. I think that that is, you know, something that's incredible, but still have the support where, you know, I'm able to be involved with the kids in every aspect, right, but yet also be able to work.
Yeah.
And luckily the nature of my job is I can fit in my work in between all of those things.
And I mean, I think it's one of those things that ebbs and flows. You know, I will have to talk to the kids sometimes and be like, this week is a really busy work week for mommy. I love you so much, blah, blah, blah. But next week we are, you know, like, you know, of course I'm still there for bedtime and stuff, but like there's some times when I really work is really busy. And then it'll be the same with Edwin. He'll have some weeks that are, he's so, so busy. And I'm like, dude, we got to reel it in. Like, you know, and we got to check each other.
Absolutely.
And I think that the biggest thing that really kind of turns me off when it comes to the world of social media is mom shaming.
Oh,
because
my God,
we are all just doing the best that we can. And if you are taking time out of your day to shame somebody for their parenting, it's something that's going on with you, not us. 100%. And that's the one thing where I'm like, block.
I can't.
I'm like, I don't want to see it. I don't need that. Like, if you want to come at me for anything else, go for it. Yeah. It's fair game. But that is like, no.
Same. That's exactly how I am. It doesn't matter. Talk about anything you want. You know, you don't have to like my outfit. You don't have to like whatever it is. But don't you dare slag off the one thing that I am most proud of.
Yeah.
The one thing that is, it is my whole heart.
Yeah.
You know, and I know I'm such a good mother. So when you make those, you know, I don't think now, I mean, this was first season. And then after that, I really, you know, they captured a lot more, although not enough of me and the kids. And that's fine and well. I mean, the show is Housewives, isn't it? It's not like, you know, they want to see a sliver of your outside of your life, but they really want to see you bashing it up with the ladies.
Yeah. They really want a lot of,
I know.
But okay, to close out, you got to give us something juicy. Got to give us something like juicy. Either something to tease, like that's coming forward that we need to be looking forward to on the show, some sort of rift that maybe we don't see coming.
There's things you don't see coming. Oh yeah. I mean, I can tell you this. The one thing about this season that I found was there were a lot of little rifts, like something would happen and then it moved into another direction and you don't even see it coming. And then it moves in another direction. So it doesn't linger the entire time. Obviously things that are going on with Erica, they were unfolding while we were filming. So there was new information happening all the time. But outside of that, amongst the ladies and the relationships, I would say that, some of the rifts that happen, or the issues between the ladies, you don't expect it.
Did everybody cry at one point?
No, I don't think most people cried.
I've seen three cries already.
Have you? I don't know.
I've seen three cries already. But you know what? You're not a big crier.
No, I'm not.
I'm always, no matter how brutal it got, I was like, I would like look and I'm like, not even a tear was one in that eye. And meanwhile, I'm like, if I could remove my tear ducts and place them somewhere else during filming.
Well, I'll tell you something, Teddy. We're both cancers. I'm extremely sensitive. I grew up with a father who was an Israeli paratrooper.
Yeah.
It was being in my mind from the very young age, like, you know, be tough, you know, hold back your tears, be tough, mind over matter. I don't think I don't think I'm consciously aware of it because I'll go when I'm alone and I'm by myself and I think about these things, you know, and then I'll start to cry. But mostly, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a crier and I definitely wouldn't say I'm not a crier. I just think that,
in the pressure situation, you've been accustomed to holding it in.
Yeah. It's more of like the anxiety. I wish I could have that release, to be honest with you, because if I did release in that moment, then I wouldn't be absorbed with so much anxiety, but instead I get so much anxiety. And then I'm just like, it messes up my mind, but I have my moments, even with PK, like if we get into a fight, he's like, and he's a crier.
And he is?
Oh my God, he's such a crier.
Teddy, he's such a crier.
No.
Are you kidding me? I watch
I've only seen Edwin cry two times in our entire marriage.
Oh, forget it. If we watch a sad movie, I look over, PK's like,
I mean, He is such a crier, bless him. Oh my God, that's what I love about him. But he will always be like, why aren't you crying? He doesn't want to be the only cry. If we watch a sad movie, and if there's anything, God forbid, chas v'chalila, chas v'shalom, that happens to children, forget it.
Yeah.
Done. Immediately tears come down my eyes. But well, like in a fight, no. Hold it together because I'm, you know.
Pride.
Yeah.
It's your pride. Damn it. I need to up mine. All right, guys. Well, we're running out of time. I'm so bummed. Thank you so much, Dree, for joining. Oh. And maybe I'll have you back on later when you get in some muddy waters.
Yeah.
Woohoo. Stay tuned, guys. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Teddy Teapot on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.